back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We're only here for 90 minutes, Dan. I'm here with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, and it's just flying by like I knew it would with you.
Should we go for the rest of the day here?
Yeah, Luke, you don't care if we just take over your show, right? Just like bulldoze right through.
I mean, I got it prepped, but you guys are more than welcome to join me.
All right. Well, I wanted to spend some time with something you have spent a lot of time with, which is your award-winning series, Expanding the Divide, which investigated about a year ago was when you first started launching the series. You know, for some people, especially if you're listening to this and do not live in Milwaukee, may not have much skin in the game of what happens to I-94 in the Milwaukee area. Because there's one contingent of people who want to put more concrete in and make it wider and bigger and a little bit more convoluted. And there's a lot of people who don't. But you spent a lot of time talking to all of the parties involved. And so before we talk about what's happened in the last year, what are some of the details of why you were even interested in this, in the first place, and what you found out a year ago?
Yeah, I think, you know, basically the series in a big picture sense is on the proposed expansion of a 3.5 mile stretch of I-94 that's kind of on the west side of Milwaukee, between the Marquette Interchange and the Zoo Interchange, kind of focused around and with the stadium interchange close to American Family Field as part of it. So I'm always kind of attracted to these, you know, the types of issues that don't necessarily cut along traditional political lines. And this is one of those. And you had a situation where, you know, there have been a number of proposals over the past decade or so where, you know, Governor Scott Walker tried to propose expansions for 94. One of those was like a double-decker freeway. One was going to have to move a graveyard. Like, there were all these terrible proposals. But then after Tony Evers became governor, he brought the project back as a more traditional expansion, adding a lane going either way, expanding the stadium interchange significantly. And, you know, there was a lot of opposition among, you know, people who are more or less aligned with the Democratic Party on most things. A lot of environmental groups, racial justice groups, you know, urbanists, pro-transit groups. So I really felt like it was an interesting time to kind of dive in on that. You know, we had a number of changes with the new administration last year, with Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Mayor Pete Buttigieg, coming in and talking about how, you know, they wanted to shift away from highways, talked about, you know, these electric vehicle changing, all the stuff that kind of came up with the bipartisan infrastructure bill and things like that. And, you know, I thought it was so I talked to just dozens of people, politicians, stakeholders, community groups, business community people, to try and really get a read on the situation, wrote an investigative piece on it that focused both on the opposition, because I think the opposition groups tend to get less, you know, less attention. So I thought it was a good time to focus on that, particularly in Milwaukee. And really looked at what was going to happen next with it as well. And I kind of ended the series with a column on why we need to start thinking about these things differently. It's a $1 billion project. And basically what they were going to do is, you know, just do a highway and expand things each way and just have things more or less the same for the west side of Milwaukee, just within just a little bit differently. But I think, you know, if you reimagine the way some of this infrastructure could be, I think it could be better for the city. So one of the things that I wrote was about, we should tear down the stadium freeway, which is like a less than 2 mile stretch of freeway that really divides neighborhoods on the west side of Milwaukee. You know, we always hear about Milwaukee being one of the most segregated cities in the country. Well, this is a dividing line that segregates the city. If you look to the west of the stadium freeway is a majority white neighborhood. To the east of the stadium freeway is a majority black neighborhood. They're actually some of the most integrated neighborhoods in Milwaukee, like Martin Drive, Pigsville. I guess that was the series. And, you know, much has happened in the year since I published that. And I guess we can get into that here too as well. So.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting as someone who, when you published it, I had only been living in Milwaukee less than a year at that point, and it opened my eyes because I am not a transportation nerd. I am not, and you know, I probably have become more of an urbanist, even though in my nature I've always lived in cities and I prefer cities. So I think a lot of the conversations that on Milwaukee urbanist Twitter that a lot of the people we both know makes a lot of sense to me as far as walking and public transit and making things that are best for the most amount of people instead of putting everyone in their own individual car all the time, which is a very expensive, high barrier to entry to get around. And so it was a topic that I think had we not been friends, I don't know if it's something that I would have naturally been drawn to, but since being able to read that article, and I think you made it accessible to a lot of people who may not have thought about another freeway expansion or, you know, more highways, they may not have thought twice about it. Think twice about it. And so what was the reaction, both as far as did you have a lot of people have tell you having a similar sentiment as I did as far as not even this not even being on their radar until you wrote about it and becoming more invested? And additionally, do you think that you writing on this moved the needle to where we are today as far as potential hesitation towards actually just going through with the proposal?
Yeah, I'm not going to give myself credit for it.
Come on. But I think there are a lot.
Okay, maybe a little bit. But I think there are so many people who have been that I met through the process here that have been so active in opposing highways. You know, I think one of the stories that I got to learn more about when I was reporting it was that there was a program when the state expanded the zoo interchange, which is became the biggest public works project in the history of the state of Wisconsin. It got sued. Walker administration was sued over racial discrimination for that. So the biggest project in the history of the state of Wisconsin sued for racial discrimination. They won. They put that settlement towards bus lines that would connect people living in the city of Milwaukee with jobs that were increasingly moving to the suburbs, manufacturing jobs, retail jobs, things like that. So I talked to some of the people who rode those routes to work, and when there was not the political will to extend those routes, you know, talked about how they had to leave their jobs when they were with that as well. And so, I'm meandering around here, and I feel like I'm not doing a good job of answering your question. But I think it just speaks to the fact that, like, if you don't take the time to look at something, you're just going to end up doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the mentality that Wisconsin Department of Transportation has had is just like another lane will fix it. You know, there was a story a number of years ago that kind of influenced my thinking on this, was called Overpasses, a Love Story. And it was about how cities kept doing this over and over. And Milwaukee was the example that they used in Overpasses, a Love Story, because you had the zoo interchange and the Marquette interchange and the lake interchange and the stadium interchange.
There's a lot.
You have like a 10-mile stretch of highway where there's these four multi-$100 million interchanges, and it's just so much. And you have, you know, other things in Milwaukee that are so underinvested. And so it comes down to a matter of priorities. And I think what I wanted to do in that series was have people kind of think differently and reexamine some of those priorities. And now we do have a real life situation where a lot of the feedback has positively improved this project. And we're now going to get a reimagined future for that stadium freeway. The original plans for the stadium interchange have been downsized or right sized. So I think there has been a really, important and meaningful dialogue around this that has made the project better.
And so to be more explicit with that, so where are we actually now as far as, because I know, I don't even, was it April when there was a press, like you, some of your breaking news was there was a press conference, right? With Crowley and who else was there?
Yeah. So it was a partnership between the state, county and city.
Yeah.
So we had a membership from the DOT. David Crowley was there. Cavalier Johnson was there. State Representative Evan Goyke, whose district it is, and he's been pushing for this for quite some time, was there as well. And, you know, they're going to undertake a study that's going to take some time, but just because there are some complicating factors because it's right along a river, and there's, you know, some environmental concerns with some of the adjacent industrial areas there as well to really take a look at. But it's going to basically, with the goal of it, is going to be converting that stadium freeway, Highway 175, from a highway to a boulevard. And I think that is the potential that that has for the west side of Milwaukee is tremendous, because right now that stadium freeway, it runs right alongside Washington Park, which is one of the city's best parks, which is totally underutilized.
Yeah.
But it's right next to a highway, so you have to deal with all of that. And then even south of the freeway, you have a lot of discussion about what types of developments the Brewers could do around the stadium. There's been a lot of talk of the quote-unquote beer district.
That was going to be my next question. How does this overlap? Well. Yeah.
It overlaps. I mean, it's all tied together, and without, you know, the conversations that have come out of the opposition to the highway expansion and the push to do things differently, you know, that has really opened the door to have this conversation with the Brewers about, you know, if they were to do something that was similar to the Deer District, you know, there's a lot of, there's some other opportunities around there as well, with some places moving in West Milwaukee, that they could build something new. And I think one of the things that Milwaukee's baseball stadium does not have going for it as much as others is there's not that kind of ancillary development. There's not that kind of destination type stuff. Obviously there's tailgating that is unique and you don't want to mess with that at all, but to bring a new element to the area around American Family Field and make that better for people 365 days a year instead of just the 81 days that the Brewers are playing.
Yeah. I think it's, I'm a big fan of the Deer District. I'm a big fan of creating new fun areas for people to spend time in. So I'm for it. I know people don't like change, so I know that there's pushback on that concept. But even that it's interesting to see what you and Robin Palm, who is more on the side of the Beer District, Entertainment District, he's an urban planner and has been, we did a video with him for Journal Sentinel, and I know he wrote an article, a column for Recombobulation Area. And it's interesting what coming up with an idea and just putting it out into the world, the energy that it can create. Because I would say with both of you, it feels like it was, you both had put something, written something, and thought through an idea where no one else was necessarily, I mean, other people maybe have been talking about it, but like to watch in real time, two ideas somewhat similar but still different gain enough momentum and political will because of certain people wanting to have meetings and what does it take to get this done, to watch it kind of like get published and watch all the steps happen to maybe make it reality is pretty cool. Like I think it's pretty cool to see how that can work, and that it in the face of sometimes a lot of bad news, it's good to see that good work at least gets heard and investigated / research / let's see what the possibility of actually doing this could be. So kudos to you on, you know, making a difference potentially.
Hey, I'll take it. Appreciate that.
All right. Well, talking about making a difference, when we come back to close out the show, I want to talk about the Recombobulation Area, why you started it, the growth that you've seen with it, and also bigger, high-level trees versus forest, what the importance of independent journalism is in today's media landscape. So we'll talk about that when we get back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, and I am joined with Dan Schaefer. I was meant for-